I remember long ago, one of the old elders read this text. And he stopped there on the word odor. And he looked out on the congregation and he said to us all assembled that day, "That's exactly what's missing, folks, is odor. That which will fill the house, odor." And over in Mark, this same account gives us a little more detail of the same instance. It's the 14th of Mark. We'll just get that for this effect of this scripture. Odor. In the third verse. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she break the boxes." Now we need, before there's going to be any fragrance or any odor, there has to be breaking. Has to be some breaking, see? Has to be broken. She had this alabaster box. I've seen alabaster. And in order to allow that costly, precious, that ointment's precious fragrance, that costly ointment's precious odor to go out, that box had to be broken. Now it looks to me like just a little old tap wouldn't do it on alabaster. Looks like to me just a little scratching at it wouldn't break it. It seemed to me that to break that box, that she had to apply some force, and she had to be determined to allow that which was within to break out. Listen, folks, we need to allow the love of the Lord, the desire for holy things, the hungering and thirsting to be full of God. We need to allow that to break out. We need to allow that to come forth. There has to be some breakings for that to come forth. There has to be some dealings, mighty dealings of God for that to happen. This woman made her way and broke that ointment, and praise the Lord, it's costly and precious, and no doubt it had very special significance to her, but she was looking toward the Lord. Do you get a thought there? As we look toward the Lord, as we look to Him, as we come to Him, we don't want to have any reserve. Lord, I give my all. That's the thought I get out of that. I'm bringing the best I have. This is maybe her best treasure. I don't know. But maybe it was something that she prized highly. No doubt. But as she looked to the Lord, "It's nothing, Lord, to bestow this upon you." The singer said, "Lord, you're worthy to be praised, and I praise you. You're worthy to be loved, and I love you. I break the box, Lord, and allow that fragrance to go forth." Praise the Lord. It said the odor filled the house. I'm thinking of another time when, a couple of times, when the odor filled the house. And every occasion where the odor fills the house, or where there's a sacrifice brought to God, that is no reserves and limits to it. It's never a failing that God doesn't meet us at that point. And there's a blessing for all that are assembled. Everyone in that house was able to sense and partake of that fragrance. Oh, I'm thinking about the kind of lives we live. Praise the Lord. Giving off fragrance, giving off odor. I have a jasmine bush in my front yard. When I got that bush, it was a little something. My wife says, "Oh, I love jasmine." So, orange jasmine. So we planted that little bush there. And to me, it was just so much labor, but I got it in. And after a while, it began to grow and bloom and prosper. And I noticed over in the evening, one evening, there was a sweet fragrance, very pleasant, very desirable, that walked its way into the house. And I said, "Oh, what's that?" She said, "That's that jasmine bush." And I think about that when I look at this text of Scripture. Something pleasant, something, an aroma of it that is pleasing, that draws us and brings out the best of us, brings out the best side. Amen. I believe when we give wholehearted service, it has an effect on everybody and everything around us. Praise the Lord. The odor fill the house. And I believe there's a likewise to that also. If we don't give our best, it has an effect on everybody around us too. I was down the marketplace. I don't know what had happened. I guess they had a sewage stop up or something. And a man with a big truck had some septic tank on him. And he drove down and fella had on big boots and rubber gloves. And he got out and everybody's walking pretty calm. And he lifted that lid off of that big steel lid off of down that street. And boy, people started moving. Hey, it had an effect, see? And I'm wondering why they're moving. I'm way back in the parking lot. And after a while, it reached out there and got me. I said, "Woo." Let me tell you something, folks. There's something to odors. There's something to them. They're mighty powerful. They evoke response. Something will have to happen, see. Whether it's pleasant or whether it's repugnant, there'll be a response from each of us. But oh, I hope that it's the pleasant odors that we're thinking about. The things that draw our minds to God. The things that cause the thanksgiving and praise to swell up in our breasts and the tears to flow as we begin to think on the goodness of God and how gracious He is to us. The odor filled the house where they were sitting. Everyone, praise the Lord. I want to think about that a little bit tonight. I want to think about it. There's a passage over in Isaiah 28. It says, bread, corn is bruised. And you know, I thought about that, how that to make the corn, the wheat, the grain, to get it in a condition where it can be used to become bread, it has to be broken and crushed and bruised, and as it were, and made into fine flour and fine grains, ground up to be used, to be issued out, to feed, to supply. Oh God, may our lives have that which supplies to others, which gives to others. Oh, God, help us now. Amen. Bread, corn is bruised. God found pleasure in bruising His Son. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Oh, let's stay with this thought a little bit now, because there's something in it for each of us. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we think about Jesus and we begin to think about Jesus and how He came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I and you. And don't you know, all that Jesus is and was would have never gotten to you and I except He were bruised. Except He lived as a man and went through life and tempted in all points and to allow the fragrance to come out of His life till we sing, oh, that name, the sweetest name. There's something sweet about it. We're talking about that fragrance that seeps and oozes out from a life that's consecrated to do the will of God. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it brings this thought out so well and so clear. And I pray that tonight that we'll look upon this as never before. In the first verse it says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness that we shall see him. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, again, if we just look at the scene for what it appears to be, it doesn't really offer a lot, but there's much happening here. He despised and rejected, a man of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And on it goes. And then on down in the 10th verse, this is the place we want to get to. Yet, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. To bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. I'm thinking about our tests and trials and our makings and God making us what He would have us to be. I want us to recognize that God wants to have such an operation in our lives and such a place of precedent in our lives that He can cause to come forth from us the fragrances that are pleasing unto Him. How are you going to do that, Lord? I'm going to allow you to be bruised. Oh, yes, I'm going to allow it.
I'm going to bring to pass circumstances that may be adverse. I'm going to let a little friction come into your life. I'm going to allow some rubbings to come into your life. I'm going to allow some things that you won't desire, but oh, they're going to bring some precious, precious workings will come forth if you allow me to continue. Amen. How about that word friction? Friction. What is friction? Well, I don't hardly know how to talk about it, but I believe friction has something to do with the resistance of motion and movement. Friction, see? You try to go a certain way and it's not compliant and it's just rough. And the more it moves, there's a roughness and an irritation. But bless the Lord, you and I might be a little rough, but enough friction will straighten it out, will it not? Just keep the friction applied. Lord, keep the heat on me. Lord, keep the pressure down on me. Just rub, rub, rub till all the rough places are removed, Lord. And I shine and I'm honed and I'm keen, Lord, and I'm what you'd have me to be. Wait a minute, preacher. Amen. You know, remember now, a toothpick was once a big tree. Amen, but you wouldn't hardly take that tree and do the job of a toothpick, would you? Oh, Lord, whittle me down and work on me, Lord, and get me in a place that you can use me, Lord. Amen. You don't get a lot of amens here. But this is God's process. It pleased God. Now we're looking at the Son of God. We're looking at Jesus. We're looking at His work in the earth. The Father was pleased to bruise Him, to allow the pressure and the stresses and the disadvantages. Yes, disadvantages are opportunities for saved folks. Amen. I hear folks crying about how disadvantaged they are and how underprivileged they are. And I say, bless God, you're in a good place. Amen. You're in a real good place. It's when you have everything going your way, you better look out.
That's right.
When everything you want just falls in your lap, you better look out. But oh, when the disadvantages are there, when the odds mount up, when the obstacles are great, and you can say, Lord, I'm thine, blessed Jesus, all thine, and see Him just mow the mountain. Take you right through. Oh, may God help us. There's some places that the Lord takes us through that we recognize right away that we can't go through just like we are now. Amen. We recognize right away that, Lord, I can't fit through that little crack you're telling me to go through like I am now. I've got too much baggage. There's too many things on my mind. The flesh is hanging out all over. Need some friction. Lord, get some friction to going around here. Praise the Lord. Now, you want friction to be positive? Then you yield to it. The rubbings, the breakings, the bruisings of God are to produce out of you and I, out of our lives, something that God is pleased with.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Amen. You ever finished a piece of wood? Get the sandpaper out and start working on it. You sand and you sand and you sand. And lo and behold, that was just the first grade. There's a grade you use on unfinished lumber that's pretty near like gravel. And you take that and you start with that and it cuts all those rough, hard places and levels them out to a point, but it's not quite a finished product yet. The Lord has done great things in the lives of many souls, but it's just the first grading. It's just the first work of God. It's just the beginning stages. Yes, you're better than you used to be. Yes, you're a lot better person than you were before. But oh, there's still a lot of room for improvement, is it not?
Yes,
need some more friction and work, see? Oh, that was grade one, and you get that rough grade, and then you come with another grade. And you work, and each grade is going after something specific. Each sanding, each friction, each breaking, each process is after something specific in your life. Oh, make of me what Thou would have me to be. Oh, can you stand tonight and say, Lord, sand me good. Hey, amen, get all my rough edges and get all the places, Lord, that I won't be, that would hinder me from sitting in. I need to just flow, Lord. I'm going to need to fit smooth. I'm going to need to be able to flow with you. And oh, in order for that to happen, God, you'll have to work on me. You'll have to work on me, Lord. Please the Father to bruise him. Jesus didn't need, in that sense, a lot of working on, but if you're going to be an example, you need to set the tone, don't you? You need to set the tone, set the pace. This is the way it is, see? This is the way it goes. Humble through breakings and bruisings and trials. There are folks today that can't grow and advance in God because they're refusing the breaking process. They're refusing the initiation, if I can call it that. Amen. You want to be used of God, and let's humble our hearts. Matthew 21. There's a verse here that I want to find, and we'll try to move on. The 44th verse, 21:44, Matthew. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Praise the Lord. Fall on the stone and be broken. Humble down. Humble down before God. Humble down. Lord, have your way in my life. You'll find one thing that stands out in the word that the Lord gives to me is to urge people, humble your heart in the mighty hands of God. Consecrate yourself all the way to God. Stand still and see the glory of God in your own life, in your own experience. A lot of times we don't know what God's doing, but thank God He knows what He's doing. Let's stand still. Let us stand still. All the friction, all the heat, all the pressure. I read where tremendous pressure must be applied over a long spell of time to form the valuable diamonds of the earth. What about the jewels for the crown of the God of glory? What about those that are going to stand in this world and represent Him in the face of every kind of thing? It's going to take some pressure in it. It's going to take some making and some proving, glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. Over there where the prophet talks to one, he says, if you run with the footman, foot race, just an old, plain old foot race, and they wearied you. Amen. You couldn't make it in the foot race. You couldn't hold out. You took out a little while running, and after a while, it just got to be more than you were willing to extend yourself in, and you simply dropped out of the race. You run with the footmen and they wearied you. Now, it doesn't get any easier after this, see? Yeah. Folks think the foot race is tough. It's saying, what are you going to do with horses? How are you contend with horses? Man running against a horse. That happened one time. God blessed and anointed His prophet. The old king took out in his chariot down the hill, and the prophet took out running. Who got there first? Little horseman? No. The one that the hand of the Lord was on. Listen, folks. God help us here. Running with horses, contending with horses, is a figure here. And we can look at it today. The church of the living God is on display whether you like it or not. They're looking at us now. Amen. They're looking at us now, folks. What are they going to do? Let's see how they handle all this. Oh, Lord, thank you for the rubbings. Thank you for the pressure. Thank you for the stress. Thank you for the trials. Lord, we're ready now to stand for you. Glory to God. But we have to get here, don't we? There's a process, and that's what we're talking about. There's a process that God does not withhold from His dear children, and He loves us so much. Not only run with horses, it talks about swelling of Jordan. It talks about high tide, bank to bank, waters overflowing. If you've ever stood and waters are raging and overflowing, and the thought of having to pass through that can strike fear in your heart. Swift current. We had a baptizing service one time like that in North Carolina. It was near Christmas Day. And we got a phone call. Says some folks up here want to be baptized and they want you to come and baptize them. Well, two things there, ice cold weather and ice cold water. We got up there and had a little meeting and prayed, Lord, just let the sunshine come out long enough to baptize these folks. Just let it clear up enough where we can do this. And oh, what a blessed time we had. The candidates were ready. Their faces were beaming and shining. And looking out on that little stream, it's swollen up and flowing real hard. I asked the brothers, the best you all got? He said, this is it. Water just churning and bubbling. I said, Lord, have mercy. But we got out in that water, praise the Lord, and the candidates came and we baptized them and they rejoiced and we all rejoiced and forgot about the cold water and the cold weather. But that water was moving fast and I thought about many times this verse of Scripture, the swelling of it. It strikes a fear. Do you know the people of God are not to be a people full of fear? We're not to be ruled and dominated by fears? Oh God, you're going to have to work on me to help me through this. Amen. God help us. Thank the Lord. He casted out all fear. He wants to work on us. He wants to help us out. He's helping us now if we'll allow Him to. Fall on the stone. Be broken. Fall on the stone. Submit. Yield. Surrender. Be broken. Let the Lord work in your life. Lest the stone fall on you. It's a little different process when He falls on you. Grind you to powder. Friend, may God help us tonight. Let's look to the Word of God. Let's keep these thoughts in our minds as we think on the Word tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a thought on our heart tonight, just a little thought. And we're praying that the Lord will have His full course and right away in our lives, that we'll be able to glorify His name, that we'll realize that we are God's people and we are on display, and there is a real desire in the world today to see trueness and realness and genuineness. I believe this. I believe there's a desire that is in the earth, and people have been misled and misguided so often and so many times. So they're just kind of hoping in a way that this will really be real and not some little fluke like going on around now. Something that'll look pretty good and then fade out. God help us. And the Lord wants to make us vessels that'll stand the test. That'll go the distance. Who'll be able to run the race. Who'll be able to finish the course. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4. The apostle writing says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Not a time for fainting and falling out. But what do? We have renounced. Listen, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, I want to say something here. If we operate like God is telling us to operate, if we believe and obey His Word like He's telling us to believe and obey His Word, it's going to have a very positive and forceful effect wherever we're operating as a people or a congregation of people. Come on now, let's think about this thing a little bit. We're talking about being able now to have the weight and influence of God felt very mightily and strong through His people in a given area. Amen. That's what this is all about. So we renounce hidden things, and we're not walking in craftiness, and we're not having, the old Indians had a saying, they used to say, some that they had dealings with, they say the man had a forked tongue. That's a pretty good expression. It really tells everything, doesn't it? Because he speaks one time out of this tongue and the other time out of that one, see? The child of God doesn't have a forked tongue. Amen. God help us now. This is important what we're talking about. That what comes out of my mouth is clear, it's sound, it's seasoned and proven. It's all worked out by God's dealings in my life. Amen. Not crafty, not deceitful. but commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, when you commend yourself to someone's conscience, you're moving pretty close to them, aren't you? You're getting real close. You're opening up everything now. You're not holding back, and maybe you feel there's something about him I just don't know. No, this is it. It's all open. I have anything to hide. Here I am. God help us. We need more of this. We need more openness and clearness. And I believe one of the things that helps us to be open and clear is the breakings and the preparations of God in our individual walks. The bruisings. The Lord knows how to make our hearts tender. He knows how to bring us down off of our high pedestals and off of those places where sometimes we find ourselves. And before we can be what God wants us to be, we'll have to come down. We'll have to get off of them. We'll have to get right down in a good, steady place. I remember an old coach told us in high school, we had several young men that were track stars and track athletes, and they wanted to go on the football team. And he said, "Now, all of you track stars, you're going to have to come down off of your toes when you play this game, and you'll have to run flat-footed or somebody will knock you down. There's a lot of folks that's trying to operate on their tiptoes. But when you come to the church of God, when you come to being a saint of God, you got to come down off your tiptoes, be what you are, flat-footed, and live it out for God. Let him work his way out in your life. Let him work his will out. Just come right down. Let's get down to earth, folks, and let's begin to cry to God and beg God to make of us what he'd have us to be. Let's not resist the dealings of God in our lives. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. Listen to what he says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And remember, we spoke last night about Christ being revealed in us. It's necessary because without this, there are phases of the gospel that you'll never fully understand the importance of. It'll be hid to you. It'll be something you wonder why there's such a to-do about consecrating my life. Consequently, you'll never consecrate your life because you just never really saw the value of it. Never even got the value of that. If the gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. Isn't that something? A sign of a lost man is he cannot perceive spiritual things. He's lost. Can't see the worth of it. Can't get the real import and impact of it. What's happened to him? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen what we preach. For we preach not ourselves, thank the Lord, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shined down. God showed the light. God has come. Glory to God. The angels came out that night. They said, "Glory to God in the highest. There's something coming to man on earth now. Peace to man. Peace is coming. The Prince of Peace is coming." Along with that will be all the goodwill of heaven. All the goodwill of God when men enter in and allow Christ a place. I was thinking as I looked at these scriptures tonight. I was thinking that, why does evil and why does wrong seem to triumph? And why does it seem to linger so close and stay around so long a time? Why is it not vanquished by the righteousness and goodness that is in God's people? And I got a thought like this. It is, but I got a thought like this. If there is a sympathy, understand me, the slightest of a yielding or a leaning towards something that is not what God would have. Do you know that gives that a credence, an ability to keep living and surviving? This is why we're going to need the light of God shine down in our hearts to flush everything out of the way. We're going to need His process of breaking and bruising and making us. Amen. When I joined the military service, there were several things that I
said with a very affirmative and definite voice that I would not do and I did not eat and I did not like. Amen. I don't eat this. I don't like that. I won't wear this and you won't cut my hair this way. They did everything that I said I didn't like. And I took it. Amen. But something happened to me after a while. There was resistance and resentment at first. But you know, I found out once I began to yield, and once I began to submit, I'm here, I'm in the military, I'm here. Once I began to submit, my way became easier. Amen. It became easier for me. Oh, they didn't have to come and fight me. I did what was required of me. And after a while, I began to understand what they wanted of me. There are folks in God who haven't gotten to the place yet of understanding what God expects and wants of them because they haven't allowed this process.
That's right.
So much I don't like and I don't want and I won't have.
That's right.
God help us. When we come before God, we're going to have to say, Lord, you make of me what you would have me to be. I've never done this before, Lord, but have thine own way. I don't know how this works, Lord, but have your way in it. Oh, this is a very precious and basic truth to success and victory in the Christian life. And to be able to open that package and let that odor go forth, that'll be a blessing and an edifying and an encouragement and a strengthening to all around us. God help us. We need more folks like this. You talk about established saints. Established and settled people that are not easily moved, who cannot be tricked, who are up on the devil's games and his schemes to injure and hurt. We need more folks that have come through the breakings of God who are able to stand clear in these times. Amen. Yes, we do. Just solid and steady and settled and sweet.
Amen.
These are the folks that God identifies himself with. Did you hear me? These are the ones he identifies himself with. And then a soul comes along. A soul that's in trouble. A soul that's lost. A soul that needs God in the worst way. Can't you see why we need folks that are steady and stable and solid, who have something they can give out to him that's hungry and needy? Glory to God. Oh, it's so necessary. There are souls that need Jesus, and many times they can't get to Jesus because we haven't gotten to him like we need to. In other words, we're getting in the way of folks. We're standing in the way of folks that could be helped and saved. Something to think about, isn't it? I want us to go on down now. What God is doing. He shined. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He shined in our hearts. Christ has performed in my life, in my heart. He shined his light deep down inside. When the light comes, everything else goes. The darkness flees. Where do we have this treasure? Somebody says, I'm only human. Thank the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God wants to do it in human beings. He wants to do it in you and in me. And he wants us to grow and progress and allow him to be manifest more and more. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Now, we're troubled on every side. Seems like we're surrounded. Listen to what he says. Yet not distressed. Trouble on every side. I'm not distressed. Oh, if you find yourself distressed and just can't hardly seem to find a way up and out, then you need to realize that God's wanting to work with you and work on you some more. He's wanting to work on you. Ideally, we'd all like to be able to go through with as least friction as possible. Yes, I would. I'd like to be able to get saved and go on and get sanctified and just go right on singing. No troubles. No. Oh, everything's wonderful in the home and in the church and on the job. But you know that doesn't read like that all the time, does it? Sometimes it's heat and fire and friction and dust and smoke and wind. And the Lord will use those things to bless you and to hone you and to bring you down and humble your heart and make you tender and give you purpose and fortitude. Glory. went into the military service, I was a boy. A young boy. And after they got through working on me, I'm not ashamed to say they made me a man. Amen. No more crying and whining. We're going to camp out all night and you're going to sleep on these rocks. And you're going to crawl on your belly. Yes, sir. No more whining and crying out of me now, see. Oh, there's been a great change. There's been some major, drastic changes. I'm accepting things and yielding and learning. You're a man now. Praise God. God needs some men in Zion. Amen. I told some of the sisters at home, I said, oh, some of these sisters are some of my best men. Praise God. They are. They're faithful. They're true. They love God. They've consecrated themselves. Some of them are my best men. It comes time to pray and fight a battle and stand in a real place. I know who can hold rank. Amen. I know who'll say, I'm standing with you, brother. Amen. And I can know who'll pray every day if we agree. We'll pray at noon every day till the answer comes. I can know who's going to be praying every day at noon until the answer comes. I'm talking about something I hope's not over our heads. Real soldiers, really proven in the fire, really tried in the fire, really been rubbed and frictioned and polished till they just stand right there shining. Glory to God. I remember I was in a real heated battle a few years back. Seems like yesterday. And I must admit I wanted to quit. I said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. No human ought to have to take all of this. And oh, the Lord began dealing with me, folks. The Lord began dealing with me as I moaned around there and sucked my wounds. And He said, they did more than that to me. I said, ooh. And I thought I was in trouble. They did more than that to me. Now, you know, it's hard to keep up in that kind of company, isn't it? They did more than that to me. Humble your heart. Stay right there. I'll tell you when to move. I'll tell you the next thing to do. You be faithful. Oh, yes, folks. God wants to set us right down and pour out His Holy Ghost and bring joy and anointing in the midst. I used to ask the Lord about shouting and rejoicing, and I was concerned about it one time, real strong like, and He said, when you get something to shout about, you shout. I'm convinced that not every case, but I'm convinced that non-shouting is nothing to shout about. Amen. You get something to shout about. You get a real victory. You come through a real place where the hand of God guided you from trouble and hurt and harm. Brought you right out because you stayed faithful. You just do a little leap. Amen. Got something to shout about now. And I don't have to work it up and make it up. And I don't have to care who looks at it and who likes it. Amen. I'm just shouting in my soul. Happy in my soul. It pleased God to bruise Him. You know what the result of that bruising of Jesus has produced? He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. To make intercession for you. He's right there now. He's touched. He knows all the details. He knows how it goes. When you think nobody knows how it goes, He knows how it goes. You can say, Lord, you know how this goes. He said, I sure do. You stay right in there. I know how it goes. I'm making you. I'm making you right now. Woo! Remember my daughters, they started their cooking and they'd be working in the kitchen. I'd hear them say, Mother, is it ready yet? See, they didn't have the experience to know whether it was done or not. Whether it was actually ready, they'd look at it, Mother, what do you think now? They'd have to keep checking. Like someone with experience who knows when it's done. Let me tell you something. The Lord knows when you and I are done. He knows when we're ready. He knows when He can let us out of it. He knows when we'll be bread to feed the hungry. He knows when we'll be in order to be a soothing to somebody that's in trouble. Those are heritage. It's to be a blessing and a light in the earth. That's our heritage as the church of God. Amen. So what a blessing these people are to me. And you're talking about folks that have suffered. Folks that have given all to God. Folks that have waited in the night watch. You know what that is? Oh, the night watch.
Seems like the night is so long. Seems like all hell is standing outside to defy you from being alive by morning. But you wait and wait and wait, and morning comes and you're still alive. And you can say, bless God, He's brought us through. Here's another daybreak. Night watches will make a man out of you. Folks sometimes will go home and go to bed and sleep all night long. What's wrong with that, preacher? Don't you ever get nudged to get up and pray? Oh, brother told us about over in the morning early, good sleeping hours. Said the Spirit of the Lord began tugging at his heart. Got him out of bed. He said he didn't know altogether what it was, but he just fell on his knees from learning that, from having it. He just fell to his knees and began to pray. So the Holy Ghost began giving him the burden. Wasn't long after that he found out what that praying was all about. The difference between a matured and grown soldier, a saint of God, is one that God can get up like that and who will get up like that. And one who will say, I felt to get up, but I didn't. See? Oh, I felt something, but I just... Oh, we got to be sharper than that. Bruise me, Lord. Work on me, Lord. I want your burden to be my burden. I want your concern to be my concern. I want to be tender enough that you can move me, Lord. Amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God will bless a man like this. God will pour out grace on a man like this. Isn't that precious? God will bless a woman like this. Boys and girls, He'll bless you like this. He'll fill you with grace. I tell the young folks, you don't have to take a back seat, but you live the life. You get an experience and live the life. You don't have to take a back seat. You can be very active and used of God in the service of God if you have the life. God will use you too. This is an hour that God wants to use young people. Amen. I believe it. I'm doing everything I can to encourage young people to let God have full control of your life. Give God your life. Let your future be in His hands. Let Him guide you. Praise the Lord. Now I want to get down to something here. This thought that we're working on tonight. This brokenness. These troubles and distresses adding to our experience. God is preparing us that we can be more useful to Him. If we allow it to work. Why do you say if we allow it to work? Many times, when the Lord causes a situation to exist whereby we are on the altar because of the inconvenience and the discomfort, we want to get up off the altar. This altar is too hard. It's too sharp. It's too this. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too long. Just stay right there until you finish with me, Lord.
Yes.
You finish with me, Lord. I'm staying right here until you finish with me. Amen. The Apostle Paul is quite an example of one who went through many of these places. Hardships and sufferings and shipwrecks and out in the deep. And I do admit and recognize this will not be the lot and experience of each of us. But I know this, that God will use whatever means necessary to prime and make us what He would have us to be. The bruisings.
Yes, Lord.
There's somebody that particularly gets on your nerves. Did you hear what I asked? Is there someone here who particularly gets on your nerves? Amen. They get on your nerves. I'm talking plain. You say, they get on my nerves. Now, I want you to let that thing work.
Right.
Find out why they get on your nerves. Find out what it is that's bothering you about them. And then you begin to say, Lord, help me in this. I want to come out of this with no smoke on my garment. I want to come out of this, Lord. I want to come out of this with all the grace that you have for me in it.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. God help us here, folks. I believe right in here, right in these areas,
We're wanting to go forth and we're wanting to be the blessing that God would have us to be, but we're going to have to gain the victory right through here. People getting on our nerves. Amen. I'm smiling because I know the place. But God allows these things because there's something He's pointing at in you and I. There's something He wants to perfect in you and I. There's something He wants to do. God, help us. Help us all. There's a process working. God to empty us out and fill us with what He would have. I want to go down near to the close here. Something I want to read. The 16th verse says, "For which cause we faint not." No fainting now. "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment." Listen to these words. The apostle looked back over many, many, many things and called it a light affliction. Trouble on every side. Distress here. Trouble there. In perils of false brethren. Our light affliction. I want the Lord to bless me. This is something I've been praying for of late and a good while. To bless me, Lord, to get the good You have for me in every situation. I'm not running from anything anymore. I have run in my life. I have run. I'm not running anymore. Oh, it'll have to be victory or nothing at all, Lord. I'm staying right here. I want to prove You and Your love in my life. No more running. Just letting the sweet will of God be wrought in my soul. Amen, amen. That's the flesh part of us that wants to run. Jesus is saying, stand still. I want to love You a little closer. I want to work with You a little closer now. I'm going to allow this. And we could see with the eye of faith. We say, oh, what a privilege it is. The Lord has chosen me to go this route. The Lord has chosen me for a suffering route. The Lord has chosen me for this route. What's the purpose of it all? That we might be trees established and settled with fruit, something to give out to others. I'm so persuaded that in a general setting of the people of God, a setting like this, that every one of us has brought something with us that we're giving out. You say, I'm not giving anything away. Yes, you are. I'm not giving anything. I don't have anything. That might be true in more ways than you care to realize. You don't have anything. We're to have within our soul that fullness of the love of God and the joy of salvation and the determination and fervency in the truth till it affects others. Amen. It'll affect them too. It'll affect them. What happens to souls when they go over in other places of worship and get in there and they got a big orchestra and a big music show and they put on these big concerts and folks really flock into that and fall into that. That's so temporary. I'm thankful we don't have those. I'm thankful we are further along the road than that. To put on a big musical, a big concert. But all that's designed to move and stir the people. Now, we don't have that, so how are we going to stir and move the people? It'll have to be by sheer experiences, by reality and truth in our souls, by our testimonies registering in heaven. Oh, God, help us that our testimonies register up in heaven. When You speak, God, the angels, and all holy angelic beings can stand up and say, amen. That'll reverberate back down in the earth and souls will be fed. What are we saying? A life that feeds others. That's a blessing. That'll be the cause of someone being able to hold on. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. And we can see by that one grain of corn that was that little bruised corn, it's planted, the results of that. The results of Christ being bruised, a part of that is us here tonight. Had He not gone all the way, had He not yielded up everything, that fragrance would not have gone up before God. Acceptable sacrifice, well acceptable and pleasing unto God. When you're bruised and you take it in stride and you allow it to work out the very best. You know, when troubles come to saints, these are opportunities that God is using to show the church of God. Amen, amen, amen. Broken. Broken. Lord having His way. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Worketh for us. These troubles and all are working for us. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God's working something out. He's working things out that we don't see right now, but the old songwriter said, we will understand it better. By and by. By and by, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, I love the Lord, and I'm finding Him to be wise. I've heard this statement, and I've proven it to be true in my life time and again. He's too wise to make a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. The poet said, though He may send some affliction, God may. Sometimes we want to say the devil this and the devil that. If we look into it more carefully, we'd have to see that God has allowed this. God has brought us to this. And then there's occasion there to humble my heart right before Almighty God and sit in His presence and allow Him to have His way. I am His property. Oh, listen. There were times, some dark times, if it weren't for the knowledge that it was the love of the Lord that brought me into this place, I could not have gone any further. How'd you get here? How'd you come to be a part of all of this? Just loving and obeying the Lord, and I found myself in this. Oh, let Him have His way. Let Him have His full control. We don't know who's looking on and who's being fed while you're being bruised. Who's being blessed through your bruisings and breakings. But if we're grumbling and complaining and whining and setting our defenses, we're countering what God wants to do. We're hindering what God wants to do. Though He may send some affliction, 'twill but make me long for home. For it's love. It's love. And not in anger. All His chastenings come. All those purgings and makings. And we sing another song, oh, make of me what Thou would have me to be. As clay is, so I am to Thee. And I watched a man working with clay one time. I never observed this before. Guess never watched anybody work with clay. He had slabs of clay. And he would slap them. He'd pick them up and slam them down on this table. And he'd roll them and he'd punch them. And I said, what are you doing? He says, you got to work this clay. And oh, I said, Lord, as clay is, so I am to Thee. You got to work this clay. This clay will cause you to lose your blessing if it isn't subdued. This clay isn't brought under. If it isn't brought under God, it'll cause you to rear up when you should be quiet. It'll have you being quiet when you should rear up. Oh, it'll work on you in many ways. The Lord wants to make vessels that are in His hands. Glory to God. You know what I found marveled me at studying through the Word of God, and I found something that caught my attention. Here it says, and they were delivered into the hand of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into His hands. That's how it is. And the Lord delivered them into His hands. And the Lord delivered them into His hands. And on and on and on. I said, wait a minute. It doesn't look like these fellas were guessing was what they were doing. It looked like they were so connected up and close with the leadings of God and the dealings of God that they were timed just right and the Lord delivered things right into their hands.
They didn't guess. They didn't go after it from a point of, let's try and see. Trial and error. Boop, oops, wrong place. Wrong place. No. They were so close with God and in the hand of God that He could tell them which valley to go out in and where to wait. Oh, discipline. The work of God, the breakings. Can you hear God when He says, hold steady? Are you willing to hold steady? Lord, help me. We're going to take Jericho. Oh, who could take Jericho? A walled city. Fortified. We're going to take Jericho. And we'll do it by marching around the walls and not saying anything until I say so. I've thought many times, how many battles could we win if we took the crew we had right now? Explain that we're going to march around the walls. God has given the word. And we're all going to be steady and quiet until the time that the command is given for the trumpet. I might work the first day. Go back home quiet. It might work out. About 3 days into it, I wonder what Brother Eddie's doing. Just God has got us all out here walking his hop. He ain't said nothing. Just walk around the wall. You hear those people fussing and cheering at us? Why are we in spectacles out here? They wouldn't have won the battle. Oh, folks, we're living in a time where we're going to have to be under the disciplines of the Holy Spirit. There are times when we are speaking when we ought to be quiet, and quiet when we ought to be speaking. There are issues on the floor that we have the word of God and a green light to go after, and we're quiet. There's other issues that we need to be quiet on. We don't have a green light at all, and we're going after them. Undisciplined. I hope we can take this. But as they marched around the wall 7 times, 7 days, right in time, what happened? Time for the 7th time on the 7th day. Blow the trumpet. The Lord hath given you the city.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. The walls just laid down. Wasn't anything we're going to do. It's going to be God, folks. But He needs a people that are so in His hands that He gets all of the glory. Not the preachers. The mighty God in our midst gets all the glory. Oh, if we aren't careful, folks, we're going to be looking for a preacher to bring us out. Amen. We're going to want to preach. Oh, this preacher will bring me out. And then when he doesn't quite live up to what we thought he was, and you know what you do with preachers who don't live up to what you think they are. You get rid of them because they weren't what you thought they should be. But oh, many times we can trace that closer than that. We can say, am I what I'm supposed to be? Oh, Lord, help us tonight. How about that box now? If you broke your box tonight, what would it smell like? Perfume? Or that fella from Sunshine Septics? When he took that lid off down there that afternoon, people would come out of that building with their groceries and I'd see them jump back. My. It was pretty strong. Yes. And that fella, now here's what got me about him. Do you know everybody was jumping to him? He didn't have no mask on, aspirator, or nothing. He's just walking casual. And I thought to myself, how long has he worked around it to get used to it?
Okay.
Folks, we can get used to some awful things.
Yes,
I don't ever want to get used to substandard and below what God has for me. I want to yearn and desire and humble myself. Amen. If we learn to humble ourselves, God wouldn't have to send so many humblings. Amen. Now, He'll do it either way. You can humble yourself or He'll send something. All right, now, I know what I'm talking about. And His sole design is you come down. I want you down. Amen. Every so often, the Lord leads and blesses me. I like to kneel out here and pray with the congregation. The preacher needs to pray sometimes too. The word is good to me. I'm praying too, saints. You pray for me while you pray today. I pray for you a lot. Now you pray for me. Oh, I don't mind humbling myself. Oh, saints, this is a time where we're going to need to humble ourselves in the presence of each other and before God, that we can be what He's calling us to be. The battle is great, and it's not just a battle among us, folks. Please. Somehow the devil has deceived us, and we can hardly see the battle beyond the chapel setting. We need to get out of that. I want out of that bad. Because the battle is more than this. There's souls at stake. There's a great need for the unadulterated gospel and truly established saved folks to go out into the community and witness of the saving grace and power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just be that light shining and burning that never does flicker. Just a steady beaming light. I get this thought from John the Baptist, Jesus is a burning and a shining light. And a candle, the wind blows, it kind of flicker. But I just get the idea that John's life was of such that all the storms and winds and all didn't cause him to flicker. He burned steady right on through to the very end. Amen. You and I must burn steady just like that. Burn steady right on to the end. Coming down to the end now. Coming down to the close of a life of living for the Lord. What do I have to show? What do I have that I might produce, as it were, to show my life in the Lord? You know what it will be in the end? Listen closely. Influence. It'll be influence. Your godly life, your clear living will be influence that goes on and on and on. And it continues to work in the midst. It'll be influence. How do I get this influence? God's dealings in my life. As I sit here and let Him work with me and I work with Him. Be a life of influence. Amen. Influence. These are where the solid places are, folks. That influence for righteousness, for God, for truth and holiness doesn't flicker. Amen. Amen. That's the greatest heritage we have to leave to the church. A holy life, that influence of a holy life. Of years of holy, steady living in the tight places with our children and with sicknesses and one thing and another. Steady. Steady. Amen. That'll live on after we're gone, see. There'll still be folks eating off of that and feeding and being blessed. They'll be able to point to it and say, Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so taught us to live this way. And they'll be fired by the same fuel. Oh, listen. How do we get to that place? I'm going to say again. It's through the bruisings and breakings of God. And God wants to make me, you, a little more tender. And He wants to get us a little more sensitive to His dealings. He sends some trials. He sends some affliction. He allows some trouble. Amen. Not to overdo us. You know, mother would always know, take it out now. If it stays a minute longer, it'll burn. Don't you know the God of heaven knows? Take him out now. He's ready. If he stays any longer, he'll burn. And when God pulls you out of the fire, you're ready to feed. I'm not talking about being a preacher either. But there's an awful lot of preaching that needs to be done that doesn't come from here. So then you are a preacher. God wants to make us preachers of good things. He wants our lives. He wants our lives to echo, blaze, be indelible. You know, you just can't push a holy life aside. You can't push righteousness aside. It's stubborn. It's persistent. It keeps on being what it is. It feeds. It blesses. Just think now. The life of Christ, how it's still blessing us. The life of those apostles, how it's still blessing us. The lives of the saints who've gone on before us, how they're still feeding and blessing us. How'd they get there? Through many sufferings. That old poet said, through many dangers, toils, and snares. So I don't want you to back up at your trials and tests, your afflictions and troubles. I want you to say, Lord, make of me what you would have me to be. If I need whittling on, whittle on me. Lord, have your way in my life. May God bless every one of us. That we can climb a little higher in Jesus. Thank you.